This morning's reading is taken from Psalms number 90, reading from verses 1 to 17, and you'll find it on page 599 in your pew Bible. 599. Psalm 90, verses 1 to 17. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due to you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Thank you, Anne. Let us pray. Gracious and sovereign Lord, we believe that you are the creator of all things, that everything rightfully belongs to you. Thank you for the great gift of Scripture in which we hear the good news of Jesus Christ, your Son, the true Word of God, through whom all things have come into being. As we enter into the autumnal season, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to your truth yet again. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. You are the hope, the strength, and the redemption of all who call on your name in faith. Amen. Well, it is that time of year again. Every year around this time, it happens just like clockwork. We see it coming a fair distance away, but we think it's never going to quite be here. We get so impatient waiting for it. It's a very special season of the year. It's a season that takes a lot of time, effort, devotion, patience. My friends, it is American football season. Our wait is finally over. It's kickoff day, forgive me. We are also in the midst of another season. And I suppose we can argue that it's even more important than American football. We are in the season when we give focused attention to the topic of stewardship. You've probably already picked up on the theme of that in today's service. Stewardship is a continual part of our lives as Christians. But this is the time in our worshiping life together when we give it intentional focus. We always need to be mindful of stewardship because it is an integral aspect of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Last year in our stewardship season, we defined stewardship in this way. It is an ethic that embodies the responsible planning and management of resources on behalf of another. And that's the key point of stewardship: management on behalf of another. Without that last little bit of the definition, stewardship sounds exactly like ownership. But according to the Bible, there is a world of difference between ownership and stewardship. And from start to finish, the Bible tells us that we are stewards, not owners, of everything that we have in our lives. From start to finish, stewardship is founded on a sense of accountability to another. For us as Christians, we are accountable to each other. We are all part of one body, the body of Christ. But ultimately, we are accountable to God for our lives, for our stewardship. Stewardship touches every aspect of our lives. And different expressions of Christ's church have different ways of talking about stewardship. In the Methodist church, they often divide it in this way. They talk about your prayers, your presence, your gifts, service, and witness. 5 points. Here in the Church of Scotland, we talk about our time, our talents, and our money. And both of those expressions of stewardship are perfectly fine. They both point to the holistic nature of Christian stewardship. Stewardship tells us that there is no part of our lives that we can look at God and say, "This is mine." All of life belongs to God. And this year, we have a special focus on one aspect of stewardship, the stewardship of time. In the book of Genesis, the very beginning, it tells us, what did God do at the beginning of Genesis? What were God's first words in Genesis? "Let there be light." That's correct. The very first thing God did was create the rhythm of the day. The first thing that God created was time itself. Time is one of God's creations. And at the start, I want to emphasize this, that I think time is the most precious currency that we have. We often hear the saying among some that time is money. We've all heard that, right? Some of us live by it. Some of us are pressured to live by it. But time is so much more than just money, isn't it? Time is the most precious currency that we have. The older I get, I must admit that it seems like that time, that most precious of currencies, goes by faster and faster. I think most people would agree that time does seem to speed up as we get older. When I was working in my study this week, I came across the following lines from a poem that said, "When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I waxed more bold, time strolled. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew." Time is a very strange thing. It seems like it can be long and short, even at the same time. I remember when I was in university, I remember sitting in particular classes. I won't name names of professors, but some classes seemed to drag on and on and on. Time almost looked like it was going backwards or slowed down on the clock sometimes. But it also, at the same time, felt like each school year flew by before I knew what was happening. It's that strange sensation of time going slowly and quickly. Perhaps we can relate to that. And the Bible does not shy away from the reality of how time passes for us. This morning we heard Psalm 90, which is ascribed to Moses, the man of God. And this psalm begins by doing what? What is the first thing that Psalm 90 does? Let's look at it. It says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So the first thing the psalm does is praise the eternity of God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The psalm carries on by talking about humanity, and in comparison to God, humanity is, well, not eternal. This psalm compares humanity to grass. The writers of the Bible use this illustration on more than one occasion, both Old and New Testament. In verse 5, it says, they are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. The Bible does not shy away from the reality that each of us has limited time while on earth. Verse 10, it says, the years of our lives are 70, or if we have the strength, they are 80. And 80 was an extremely advanced age, especially in the ancient world. But even the longest human life is still like the grass, here today and gone tomorrow. Now, this might seem a bit depressing. I don't know of anyone who feels cheery when contemplating the truth that one day every single one of us here won't be here anymore. It's a sobering thought, to be sure. We do not know the day or the hour, but we do know that the day and the hour will come when this life will end. We depart to be with the Lord. So where's the comfort? Where's the good news in this? The good news, I think, is this. While life here might be temporary, while our time may be limited, our God is eternal. All of creation, all of time, everything around us, it comes from the gracious hand of the God who is the God who loves us from everlasting to everlasting. God gives us the time we have so that we may glorify him by how we use it. God gives us the time we have that we might glorify him by how we use it. And I think that's the heart of the psalm that we have heard this morning. But here again, verse 12, that says, teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. What does this mean? I think it means several things. I think this verse tells us that we should never take the time that we have for granted. Nobody besides God knows what tomorrow is going to bring. So the time that we do have should be treated and received as a gift. I think it also means it's good for us to take stock of our lives, and as Helen said earlier, to reflect on how we tend to use our time. When it comes to the time that we have, what do we tend to prioritize? What are those things that receive most of our time? What are those things we prioritize, whether by length of time or by purposeful interaction? What does our usage of time tell us about ourselves? What does the usage of our time tell others about us? Does how we use our time communicate what we want others to know about us? Are we using our time in ways that help or hinder our growth as disciples? I think all of that is tied up in this verse to teach us to number our days, to gain a heart of wisdom. But I also think there are things that this verse is not saying to us as well. I think this verse is not saying that we must be hyper-legalistic about how we use our time. It is not saying that God is waiting in the wings to scold us for how we do or do not use every second of every day, of every month, of every year. It is not saying that God is some sort of celestial bean counter who is keeping a ledger and waiting to quiz us about what we did or did not do on the afternoon of 10th September 2017 before we are allowed to be in God's presence. numbering our days means taking stock of our time, to be certain. It means using our time well, and using our time well means living in a way that reflects God's design for our lives. Using our time well does mean working hard. Using our time well does mean making time for family. Using our time well does mean making time for Sabbath rest. Using our time well does also mean making time for play as well. We believe that Jesus is God's Son. He is our Lord. He is the pattern and example after which we are called to live our own lives. We are called to follow his ways, his teachings. And we do know from the Bible how Jesus used much of his time. But even Jesus did not work every hour of every day. If anyone ever had the right to do so, if anyone had the right never to take a rest because his work was too important, it was Jesus. But he didn't do that, did he? Jesus took time, we know, for rest. He took time to consider the lilies of the field. He took time to marvel in his Father's creation. He took time for Sabbath rest. He even took time to doodle in the ground. He took time to learn. I would like to think he even took time to play as well. Jesus led the balanced life. He used his time well. And God has designed each of us to lead balanced lives too. God wants us to be holistically healthy, and much of that comes down to how we use our time and how much we are willing to follow Jesus' example. As we heard earlier, time is the most precious commodity that we have. We must seek to balance our time in ways that bring glory to God, because that is what life is really all about. One of my favorite figures from Christian history is St. Augustine of Hippo, who is one of our church fathers, an early Catholic bishop who wrote extensively on the Christian life. And one of the teachings that made Augustine famous was a concept that's called ordered love. Properly ordered love. And give you an example. You have three things, right? We'll use me as an example. We'll have my car, Benny, and Heather, right? Now, if I love my car more than I love Benny, does that seem right? No. If I love my car more than I love Heather, does that seem right? No. If I love Benny more than I love Heather, is that right? If I love Heather more than I love God, is that right? Can't hear you. No. So Augustine's idea is that love is only love when it's properly ordered. That it's okay to love your car, but you must love your dog more, or your cat, if you're a cat person. Your spouse, family, and God. You have to have your loves properly ordered. Otherwise, your whole life is out of sync with others, out of sync with God. I think that this teaching extends to time. Augustine talked about ordered love. But we can talk about properly ordered time as well. When our time is properly ordered, our lives are more in sync with God's designs. When our time is disordered, that is when we're at war with ourselves, war with the world, and at war with God. When our time is ordered, when it reflects Christ, God uses our lives to draw others to him in faith. When our time is disordered, our lives are disordered, and Christ is obscured. Friends, some of us may be sitting here today squirming in our seats from an internal sense of embarrassment about how we have or have not used our time in the past. Maybe, some of us are still afraid that God is out there somewhere, counting our beans, weighing us in the scales, finding us lacking. If that sounds like you, and I won't ask you to raise your hand if it does, I have something to say. First, the Bible tells us that God is our Father, not our bean counter. And second, no matter how we have used our time before, each day presents us with a new choice. Each day that God gives to us can be a fresh start. Each day is a new opportunity for us to bear witness to God in how we use each aspect of our time, our work, our rest, and yes, our play. Each day, each new set of 24 hours is a new opportunity to live our lives and to use our time in ways that tell others about what is truly most important. And right now, we can begin again. Right now, we can continue to use our time well. Right now, we can see the time that we have as a gift. Right now, my friends, right now, we can begin to number our days, to take stock of our time, and gain God's heart of wisdom. May it be so. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the great gift of time. Thank you for time to work, time to rest, time to be with others, time to serve others, time to play. Thank you for the rhythm that you give to us in each day, of each week, of each year. Lord, help us to take stock of our time. Help each of us to use our time well. Help us to order our time well. Help us to use our time in ways that seek to bring glory to your precious name. We are but stewards of all that you have given us. Help us to live as such. Amen.